Good evening. You don't need to turn there, but I think I need to read a verse in Revelation 2. It says, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." And so here we are told that the Lord of the church will remove a lampstand if activity or heart attitude of the people aren't changed. I don't think we're told that he actually places the lampstand, but it's implied that if he can remove it, he's the one that places it. And I guess the little blurb on the report is the Lord placed the lampstand in Oklahoma about 5 years ago. And just as he's the one that plants, everything that occurs is really his work, isn't it? And Don probably doesn't remember, but he invited me to this conference about 6 years ago. And it was through a letter, and my first reaction to that invitation was no. I'm not a worker or an elder. I mean, I wouldn't go to that conference. But this afternoon, as he asked me to share, I also wanted to say no, but I knew the Lord said yes. So he asked me to talk about the work and about my vocation and practice. So in 2 minutes, I'll try to do that. Place I think I'd like to start is about 8 years ago. I was visiting my father north side of town here. My dad had a yellow sheet out, and he was writing out what he thought a New Testament church looked like. And we talked about it a little bit, and I went back home. I was involved in a denominational church plant at the time. I'd always had a desire from my youth to be involved in the discipling and evangelism, and I could see that God's program was a church. And as I was in that experience, I became I became discouraged, because what I saw in the scriptures, especially regarding church leadership, it wasn't what I was experiencing. And I became desperate for Christ, not just for me, but for my family. And I went on for what was, for me, a prolonged fast. And a couple weeks after that, I was up in Wichita at a homeschooling conference, and one of the workshop leaders had a little workshop, and I'm not one to go up and talk to people after their workshops, but I went up and I wanted to chat with this gentleman. And 30, 40 minutes went by, and we got around the church. My father had been calling me for 2 weeks, telling me about this group that he'd visited, and he was so excited. It was not like anything he'd ever seen. And as I was talking to this man, I came to realize he was one of the three founders of the meeting that my dad had been visiting for 2 weeks, and I was going to be there the next day. So that sort of got my attention. It wasn't until about 3 or 4 months after that I became convinced we should leave where we were at. And I called this gentleman up. His name's Keith Trevolt. Many of you probably know him. And I said, "Is there a meeting like that around here?" He said, "Well, there's one up in Tulsa." Well, before I made that phone call, I bought the U.S. Handbook of Denominations, some 380 pages, and I read the whole thing. I wanted to see if anything else looked like what I saw in Scripture, and I didn't see anything. And we went up to East Tulsa. The breaking of bread, it was like coming home, and Christ was there, and I said, "This is what I've been reading about." And we were there in happy fellowship for 3 years, driving 53 miles one way, and there were some people getting saved in some studies and some things going on, and I can't give the details, but I became convinced the Lord wanted a meeting where we were at, and I knew we shouldn't make that step unless he showed the elders there what he wanted. And so I prayed fervently that the Lord would show the elders what he wanted. And they let us go to the work. It's about 5 years ago. And we have enjoyed the presence and power of Christ in the meeting. We're seeing Christ's likeness in my own life, in the lives of the believers there. I want to introduce some of them. My wife, Fran. You want to stand up, honey? Luke. My youngest son's here, and Lydia, my daughter, my two oldest boys. Thank you. Two oldest boys are at home. Bob and Donna Rice are here. The Lord sent them our way about 3 years ago. Many of you have met them. Thank you, Bob and Donna. We probably had the best representation here tonight. Two-thirds of our assembly are here. Part of the sanctifying work that the Lord's been doing is in my vocation, and I've been asked to share a little bit about that. About a little over 3 years ago, I heard from two different sources that there's 4,000 abortions a day in this country. It's the most common surgical procedure in the country. It's 1.5 million a year. And I'd heard that before, and I'd thought about this before, but I thought to myself, you know, those girls aren't paying for those abortions. The people I'm doing business with are probably paying for those abortions. What it is that an independent physician, when you contract with insurance company, you're on one side of an agreement, a provider agreement, and the insurance company, the government entity, is on the other end. And so the only way they're going to send your patients to you is if you're a provider. And I thought and prayed, and at one point I said, Lord, you show me what to do, and I'll do it. And I meant it. And he showed me very clearly, for me and my conscience, I couldn't change what was going on in America or make up anyone else's mind, but I knew I had to call these companies and ask them, are you paying for elective abortions? And the answer was yes. And I dropped the contracts. I thought the Lord would keep the practice open, but I also knew for some reason he wanted to shut it down. He had a very, very good opportunity. And as I thought about that verse in Philippians 2, he made himself of no reputation, came to me, and it made the decision really easy. And I dropped the contracts, and the practice went away in about 4 months. I'd been there in town for about 10 years, trained as a general surgeon, abdominals, hernias, gallbladders, that sort of thing. And he directed me to do some locum tenens. I knew we shouldn't leave. I knew whatever happened, the Lord wanted us there for the work and for what he was doing. And I started doing some locum tenens work, and during that time, he redirected me into a whole new procedure. It's a microscopic vasectomy reversal. I really wasn't trained in that, but I went down to Houston, took some microsurgical training.
I'm not volunteering or anything.
Okay. And I didn't have a clue what to do except to follow me one step at a time. And, you know, from a world point of view, any sense at all what the Lord did, but he very specifically showed me his design, his will for this. I remember I was over in Missouri one Wednesday night, and I'd been on my knees for about an hour praying about all kinds of things, and I got up, and I sensed he wanted to show me what I should charge for this procedure, because I didn't have a clue. I had my mind about it, but I wanted his. And I sensed he was going to show me that night, and he did. He wanted to show me through the scripture, and I started reading the Judges, and he showed me that the next number I was going to come to was going to be the number, and there it was. And he just led in a wonderful way to allow me to free up my time. My nights I'm no longer on call for the emergency room for a stabbing or a gunshot. You know, I'm sleeping at night. He's sending folks from literally all over the country, the Muskogee, Oklahoma. We live in Fort Gibson, which is in a town between Muskogee and Tahlequah. It tells you a lot, doesn't it? Bob and Donna are in Tahlequah, and we're in Fort Gibson. We work in Muskogee. Some of the things that are going on is some Spanish classes. Classes in Bible children. Donna's with Martinez Family Needs Salvation. Bob's involved with gospel work at the community center they live in. We're in the open air, involved with different families. The Ferguson family needs the Lord. Jason Stout, I appreciate many of you have prayed for him. We know that the work the Lord is doing will go forward as we keep praying ourselves and you while we covet your prayers. Thank you.